Why is everyone in engineering?
Oh, good. BB, you made it. Maybe she knows something.
Hey, I know a lot of things. But which thing are you talking about?
So I guess you noticed the hyperjump this morning, right?
Yep. I did a full security scan when we dropped out. You know, protocol and all.
And there were no mysterious readings or anything dubious during that scan?
No. Why?
Well, because I didn't initiate it.
In fact, no one initiated it, according to these logs. So we just came down here to see if there was a glitch in engineering.
Yeah, but everything checks out, you know, situation normal.
Let me check the security logs. Oh, wow. It says nothing registered at the time of the jump. In fact, this says no one was on the bridge at all.
That was our finding, too. So either someone snuck in and initiated the jump and then cleared all the records, or...
Or the ship did it on its own.
Which is ridiculous.
Is it, though? Is it? I mean, we do have an unhinged door hell-bent on turning us all into meat cubes in the basement.
Oh, speaking of Dorothy, we got a message from her. And that's why I was trying to find all of you. She says we need to quit procrastinating and close out one of our blind spots.
Let me guess. Lord of the Rings.
How did you know that?
Well, because that unscheduled hyperjump brought us right to Middle Earth.
Oh, okay, okay. This is gonna have to wait. We cannot keep Dorothy waiting. BB, get ready to perform some self-surgery. Everyone else, let's meet back in the conference room after BB is done watching Return of the King.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
liftoff. This is The Verse, a weekly dive into the cinematic universes and beyond. We'll dissect the latest episodes, films, and news all fans from veterans to noobs are dying to know more about. Now, here's our team of pop culture superheroes we call The Verse Squad.
Welcome to The Verse.
Welcome back to The Verse, the podcast that has finally fixed its video relay. Today, Dorothy is making us close out BB's final Lord of the Rings blind spot. But before we do that, let's meet the team. I'm Norm.
I'm Bridget.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Emilia. And this is The Verse News, where we bring you the latest in TV, film, pop culture, and superhero news from across the cinematic universes and beyond. So it's been a minute for us here. Why don't we see what squads come up with?
All right. Well, one of the biggest pieces of news that came across the desk recently. Star Trek Lower Decks is being canceled after its fifth and final season.
Yeah, this sent shockwaves through the Star Trek fandom, so I'm very eager to talk about this.
And did they say why? Because it was doing well, right? Like, it's quite popular. And
there's been no... This is the thing that's been very frustrating, is I don't think anybody's heard an explanation of why it was canceled. Because it's not about popularity. It's definitely one of the most popular, spin-offs or whatever you want to call it from the entire series so far of all the new Trek. The fans love it. It has really good ratings. So why would they cancel it? I have some theories, and I'd gladly discuss them. One of them is I think that the popularity of the show might have been what killed it. And
too
follow
popular.
Me here. Yeah, well, the idea being is now they want to spin off those characters into the live shows. Because from what I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, Norm, aren't like two of the characters already going to be featured in other shows?
I know Tawny Newsome, who plays Beckett Mariner, is going to be a part of Star Trek Academy.
Yeah.
But I don't know in what sense. I know she's definitely a writer, but they've also said that there might be more there, so...
Well, my hope is that that's what we're going to do, is see some of these characters in live Trek. It would be a real waste to not do it. And one of the things that I really loved about that show is it wasn't looking backwards as much as it was like an homage and a love letter to all Star Trek. But what it did really well was it took place later in the timeline than what we're used to seeing. So it takes place after Picard. after the Next Generation, Deep Space Nine. So it's like, it was really a refreshing change of pace to what they keep doing, which is like jumping backwards in time and like, you know, revisiting earlier eras of Star Trek. It felt like they've been really stalled out and stunted for a while. So this was just a breath of fresh air, right? And yeah. So that's kind of frustrating. How does everybody else feel about it?
I mean, it's surprising. Like, if it's so that they can spin off the characters into live action shows, like, I guess that's a little better than
prize.
There's like a silver lining, but it still seems like a shame. Like, I kind of don't fully understand why you couldn't have both a little bit.
Completely agree. It's not that expensive to produce a cartoon show. You know, an animated series is usually a little bit less expensive than all the live action stuff. That great crossover we got with Strange New Worlds was awesome. And it showed that it could be done. So it gave me hope. But I agree. Like, why, if they're going to expand it? And I'll say 7 seasons is typical for a Star Trek show. For some reason, that's kind of like where everything landed. It used to be for syndication, whatever. But so I was really just expecting them to at least hit 7 seasons. So canceling after 5 just feels really like a knife in the back.
Yeah. Emily, remind me, you were at the panel during Comic-Con or no?
Ooh, I don't think I was for Star Trek.
Okay, the Mysterious Proves was definitely with me. I couldn't remember if you were there as well. And afterwards, I got to talk to series creator Mike McMahon. And it seemed like everything was firing on all cylinders over there. So that's why I am so shocked that this happened, because to my knowledge, everything was going swimmingly there.
It makes you wonder if like something happened that they don't want to talk about yet.
Well, I know they're cost-cutting. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, all of these streaming services are just hemorrhaging money, and they're getting bought out and merging, and so it's quite possible they just screwed up, and honestly, these executives are clueless. Like, don't hold your breath thinking they're going to make the right call. And Star Trek is just, you know, so bad about this. They constantly are canceling things before they need to be.
Isn't Paramount and Peacock supposedly merging in
merging
one?
Yeah, I think, I mean, they're all, let's be real, Disney's just going to own everything in, you know, the next few years.
I still have a hard time believing that this wasn't doing what it needed to, because again,
I don't even know if it matters
reaction
these days.
At Comic-Con, you can all I feel like you can judge a series by fan reactions at Comic-Con, because Why the Last Man, that I loved, the Comic-Con panel was like, you could hear crickets at time. And that to me was like, I walked out of there being like, oh God, I don't know if this is going to survive. And it didn't. This, I'm like, oh my God, all the star, like Prodigy just recently got saved by Netflix. Maybe that will happen too, by the way. Maybe someone will come along and save this Netflix.
Maybe that's
on.
What they're aiming for though. They're like, we don't have enough money to produce all this live action stuff and this animated show, but this animated show actually might have a life outside of this. I like this theory. Bridget,
it's kind of baffling,
any thoughts on this?
Go the way Prodigy?
No, I just think it like, to me, it doesn't make sense, because if it's a well-performing show, why are you going to take off the well-performing show? There's so many other shows to cut off the list before you get one that's top performer. But I do agree, that was going to be a point that I said, is because it is doing so well, the more eyes, it's like you want to make the higher quality of a production. So it's going to cost more money. And right now, like, these streaming services don't have any more money to fork out, like, at all. Like, it's a nightmare. So I am shocked that they just straight up canceled it. And there was not like a plan attached to it saying like, oh, we're going to move it to a different platform. Oh, we're going to change the format. Oh, like, this isn't the end of the characters. But instead they just like straight up were like, yeah, it's done. Maybe they did it purposefully. Maybe they're like, oh, we want to see the buzz that it's going to get. And then maybe they're going to use it to jump off and launch a new streaming service. Like, I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? Seriously.
No, I could see them saying, okay, now similar to what they did with Prodigy, they're like, we're going to cancel it. And then somebody's going to swoop in and be like, wait, this has a fan base. We'll buy that off of you. So it's literally just them upping the stock price before they, you know, what is it? The pump and dump? They're doing a pump and dump with our beloved Lower Decks.
And let's not forget, Lucas will remind us this all the time, that the original series got saved by the fans through petitions. Mm-hmm. And this could also happen.
I mean, Prodigy kind of did
before.
Yeah. So
right, that's what I'm saying. It's happened before. It's happened again.
So I'm making it. I'm pleading with the fan base. Go buy all the Blu-rays of Lower Decks 1 through 5. You know, share it, pirate it, whatever you got to do. Watch it and make everyone know that you want more Lower Decks. I will gladly,
kidnap your friends, chain them to a chair, and force them to watch. Yeah,
whatever you got to do.
Humane thing to do.
And I mean, even with all of this, there's still like, you can never truly overestimate how out of touch or how badly of a decision like executives can make when it comes to situations like this, when it comes to like deciding what cost-cutting measures to take, who are we going to fire, what show are we going to cut. And it's like, to us, it's very obvious what you should not cut. Just be like, yeah, that's the first thing on the docket. And in, I don't know, that kind of incompetence never fails to surprise me.
Completely agree. Like, for real. Like, I used to maybe think otherwise, that like, there's got to be some strategy behind it we're just not aware of. I don't think that at all anymore. They're all a bunch of morons all the way up. Sorry.
I do not think they have their finger on the pulse of what these fan bases want or what they should actually do with it. And that doesn't just go for Star Trek. That goes for especially, look, I'm going to call it out on WB the most. they really need to re-examine where things, I mean, maybe with this James Gunn era with DC, he can right the ship over there and make WB better.
They're probably not working in mysterious ways though.
So, you know, I recently went to Gem State Comic Con. I beamed down on a mission to just get the pulse of where the fandom is for all these different cinematic universes. So I do feel like this is a good transition. Unfortunately, I don't think Lower Decks had been canceled, or I just foolishly forgot to ask everybody about it. But I did get the skinny on a lot of different cinematic universes. So would you be all willing to watch my research that I gathered on my away mission?
Yeah, let's pump it.
Yeah, let's see that cam footage.
All right, so here. So this first one is, I interviewed this amazing cosplayer, Larissa Page, who is such a sweetheart. She also had a lot of really interesting and insightful opinions, and I asked her for some hot takes, so I'm very curious to hear what everyone's reactions are going to be. So here, let's watch.
My name is Larissa Page. I can be found on all social medias as Larissa Page Cosplay.
So my podcast is called The Versecast, and what we do is we explore all different cinematic universes, Star Wars, Star Trek. So my question would be, what is some of the different ones you like to follow? Marvel, DCEU?
So I'm very big into Star Trek. I'm very big into Marvel. I'm trying to think of like what universes do I get like really excited about. Those are my big two.
Who's your favorite captain first?
So does Captain Lorca count as a captain from Discovery? Because I actually have a quote of his tattooed on my hip. We choose our own pain. Mine helps me remember.
I will say, if captain is in the title, then yes, that works.
And it's also slightly because of Jason Isaacs, but like, out of all of them, well, no, because it depends on the Kirk. But Picard above all, at the end, okay. At the end of the day, it's how can you not?
I was raised with Next Generation, so of course Picard is. But I'll tell you, Pike is getting up there. He's kind of gaining in my esteem.
He is so great. Strange New Worlds is great. If you haven't seen it, you should.
Do you have any hot takes from any of these universes that might get you in hot water?
Scarlet Witch is the most powerful Avenger.
Fight me.
Because honestly, had she not... Okay. One thing that Vision is my all-time favorite, and so that whole thing in Infinity War, I started sobbing before everybody else did. And had she not been so distracted doing what she had to do, she could have taken Thanos out right then and there, and we wouldn't need the Infinity War part of, or not Infinity War, Endgame. We wouldn't need Endgame if Scarlet Witch had been like focused.
Not to take in. Do you want to start at the end? So I'm all right. Maybe we'll start.
I mean, like we have tattoos. We have total rewritten endings of the last of Avengers.
Avengers? That's a great hot take,
by the way. And the 90-second video clip, she just, like, caused World War III.
Well, so, Nora, let's respond maybe at the start of the ending there. What do you think about that hot take about Scarlet Witch?
I don't think it's that hot of a take. I really don't. Yeah.
I mean, she is pretty powerful. We saw her as a great villain afterwards. Okay, yeah, all right. I was hoping you'd come in guns blazing like we expect from Norm over here, but okay.
No, yeah, I think she's totally right about that too.
She's not wrong. I mean, look, if you want to talk about who the most powerful are, you're definitely talking about Scarlet Witch. You're definitely talking about Captain Marvel, and you're probably talking Doctor Strange.
Well, and Vision,
that,
I think.
Maybe Thor. I don't know about, like, Vision, yeah, a little bit, but I'm going to go Thor above Vision. But, like, those are the god-tier powers of the Avengers. Doesn't mean they're the best of the cast. It just means that, yeah, they definitely got the power.
Doesn't necessarily mean that they would win in, like, every matchup. Because,
exactly.
Like, it's about more than just raw power.
No, because I'll tell you right now, and here's my hot take of this one. Yeah, Wanda's the strongest, but I guarantee you Hawkeye could take her down.
Oh, that's a hot take right there. All right.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No.
Well, why did that happen in the WandaVision show or whatever?
Because Hawkeye was...
Clint was retired.
Apparently,
he was having Christmas.
Yeah, I would say he was having Christmas and watching the Rogers musical, so he was busy,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A bit busy. That takes up a lot of time.
Yeah. All right. So what about the other thing she said about the best captain being Lorca, which I never, all the different interviews and discussions I've had, nobody brings up Lorca. And Emilia and Bridget, you probably don't know what the heck we're talking about. Discovery, which is its final season this year. Lorca was one of the captains of the first season. And I don't do any spoilers, but he is not what he seems. But he's played by that great British actor known mostly from the Harry Potter universe. Jason Isaacs, is that his name?
Malfoy, old man.
Yeah, he's
Malfoy,
the,
right?
old man Malfoy, but he's so
old
good.
Old man Malfoy.
Yeah, not Draco.
Yeah, the father.
Okay,
Lucius.
Okay.
Lucius. There it is. Lucius.
Lucius Malfoy. Yeah, but he's great in it, and I love that she said that. Like nobody ever brings up Lorca, so I was like, what a cool twist. But then she kind of backpedaled and you know agreed that you know Picard is probably one of the best. But honestly, that's boring. Everybody knows that. So I was really impressed with her Lorca, and I kind of want to use that now just to mess with people.
I will say Lorca had a very interesting quirk. The whole everything kind of needs to be a little dark.
Dark
the set.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. I enjoy a good hot take. That's one I wouldn't go with, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, he best at commanding a crew or anything? He was kind of insane, you know.
Yeah,
but he was a very interesting character for sure.
I still stand. She's not wrong with Picard. I still stand that he's probably my favorite, although like you said, Pike is jumping up there. And I just recently found out that Anston Mount is a DM for Dungeons and Dragons and has been for a while. So Pike's looking like he's gonna cook me dinner and we're gonna play some D&D. So
dude, you can't beat that. Yeah.
No.
All right. Well, if anybody has any other comments, otherwise I'm gonna share with you another interview I did.
I liked her cosplay too. She was Nightmare Before Christmas.
Jack Skellington.
Good call. Yeah. Jack Skellington. By the way, check out our Instagram account, which I'll share on our socials. She has a sexy Flanders. Stupid sexy Flanders. Where she's like in the ski outfit with the Flanders thing. I mean, she's super talented. And also you can tell has a really good sense of humor. So I really enjoy her cosplay. This next guy that I interviewed, Nerdwood Designs. Flaking on his name, I will find it and add that in post. But he makes these really incredible like Dungeons and Dragons like signs as well as dice and all this stuff. So here, let's share his video real quick. And I just want to preface this by saying that Samwise Gamgee was the speaker at
right
Gem State Comic Con. Just remember that. So I was asking him kind of who's your ride or die.
This is going to be a little bit biased, and I don't know how accurate it is, but I have a Brindle Pit that I rescued, and his name is Gimli. I think Gimli is like kind of like that gruff, a little bit, you know, irritable, but loyal. Like once you got him, those dwarves, like they're by your side. They're going to joke and be sarcastic, but they're with you till the end.
So think about that. If you had a ride or die from Lord of the Rings, who would it be? And he said Gimli.
Mm, interesting. That's a good choice.
It is a good choice, because once you break through the gruff exterior, like I was saying, he is definitely going to be a ride or die. You know, like, he will match you. But, you know, I was kind of shocked. I was expecting Sam, like Samwise Gamgee.
That's because he's kind of the...
Look, I mean, you just finished Lord of the Rings. We'll get into that. But
yeah, we'll talk about this later. But Sam would probably be mine. But Gimli's not a bad choice. And I would go as far as saying in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, outside of Aragorn, I think Gimli has the most character development.
He also has so many kills. He does save the day all the time. He's like a really good ride or die, because he actually
realistically not as many as Legolas.
Right, I knew you were going to go there, but I mean, they
can I be perfectly honest though?
War.
I find Legolas insufferable. I would, like, yeah, sure, he's very talented, but I would just be like so annoyed having him around. Yeah, you're perfect. You're beautiful. Whatever.
He's also humble and nice.
Oh yeah,
yeah, humble,
even worse.
Humble. Sure, even we'll go worse. With that.
Bridget, where are you following this?
Wow. I was thinking Samwise, but like, I'm gonna say his name wrong, but like, just because I'm gonna go paste off of looks rather than personality. Like, I would like Legolas like with me at all
times.
Oh
God! All right, you can keep him.
Yeah, you can have him.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you might have to fight Emilia for it.
Yeah,
but Emilia, if I'm not mistaken, I thought Emilia was gonna go with Aragorn.
Well, the thing, okay, so if we're going to talk about most attractive man, male presenting person, whatever, in Lord of the Rings, I do think it's Aragorn. But I wouldn't choose either of them as a ride or die, because I feel like they would be too busy having other, like, I feel like,
oh my God,
they'd have other people
say
to save.
I was going to say something so inappropriate.
Bring it.
I have a funny feeling it's going to be a playoff of ride or die.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Yeah.
I mean, like, when you say ride or die, qualifications?
All right.
Yeah, if I didn't see that one coming a mile and a half away.
I'll tell you what, I like this, what you're saying, and maybe it'll be a good segue into some of our next interviews.
Oh, but my answer is Eowyn.
Oh, nice.
Eowyn.
Very loyal.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
That's a really good one. I like it. Loyal.
Is it because Arwen can't cook?
Arwen is obviously too busy with Aragorn. And she's like, an elf. She's undying. So she just like, her perspective is going to be totally different. The things that I think are really important and need help with, she's not going to think.
Ride or die if you can never die, though.
Oh.
It kind of.
Ooh.
Takes
away. Phoebe looking for the loophole here.
All right. Okay. These are all really good answers. There's no right answer, except that not Legolas is.
Yeah, I'm with Lucas on that one.
Okay. So
I wanted to choose Merry too, but then I was like, no, Merry's going to be too busy. Like,
no. What am I saying? Pippin. He will make me look so much better.
Pippin is not going to be that reliable, though.
No, he will mess everything up and it will make me look better.
He's energetically a ride or die, but.
All right. Anyway, so I'm going to move on to our next one, which is, I think, Norm, you'll get a kick out of this, because this is very DC EU based. And also, this was one of my favorite cosplays that I saw at the whole event.
My name is Cambry Turnbow.
Who are you dressed up as today?
I am dressed up as Harley Quinn from the DC Universe.
So are you a DC Universe fan?
Yes, I am a huge DC Universe fan.
And, how did you end up discovering DC? What was your journey into it?
I kind of grew up around it, but it actually really started with the first Lego Batman video game. That's how I first discovered Harley Quinn, and then I became obsessed with her and just kind of fell down the rabbit hole.
Have you watched the HBO show on her?
I've seen part of the first season, and I liked it a lot. I need to rewatch it and get into it again.
So what do you think about the different movies that DC has been releasing lately?
I haven't been personally a huge fan of the live action ones, except for the new Batman one, the Battertonverse is what it's called. But I do love the animated movies that they have out.
Yeah, those are some of my favorites. What would you say is the one you'd recommend to somebody who maybe doesn't know DC very well?
I love Assault on Arkham a lot. It's so fun. Harley's such a cool character in that. I love her character design. It's just a lot of fun.
So what is the one thing you would like to see more of in DC?
Honestly, I want to see more characters, ones that you normally don't see in shows and stuff. Like, I think a Hush movie would be really cool, or there's just so many characters I feel like they haven't explored yet. So stuff like there's so many cool villains that nobody knows about, and like characters like all the different Robins they have. Everyone thinks there's just one Robin, but there's so many. So.
All right, Norm, what are your
Cambry, you have my heart for so many different reasons. One, first off, she starts off on the right foot by cosplaying as OG Harley Quinn, which is the best. I will tell you, from going to so many New York Comic Cons, everyone's been doing the Suicide Squad Harley with Daddy's Little Monster, which I feel is a disservice to the character so much. So right away, I love her.
It's
doing
giving
OG Harley
toxicity.
I wish I could see the mallet to see if she said if it had your face here on it.
It does. Like I'm telling you, she is super talented as a cosplayer.
I love her. I love this. Yeah. I love this woman.
Hush. Are you kidding? Hush. When she said hush, I was like, that's the one I wish they would do.
And it's why it was the only thing I had wrong with the Pattinson Batman movie was that
Robert Pattinson.
That they did Hush, but Riddler Hush. I hate that. Mm-hmm. I want to do the real Hush because that was so good. So she, again, she's firing on all cylinders. And then she's right. Other like great characters need to come in. She's very much right. And I would love, I've said it before, one of my favorite, my favorite Robin is Nightwing by far. It's Dick Grayson. After that, it's Red Hood. Jason Todd is amazing.
They could do the Red Hood as a movie. Like that would be a great.
They should.
Anyway.
They should. Right. I would love it. But yes, I love you, Cambry. I agree. 100.
Emily and Bridget, any thoughts?
I also just need to, her costume was awesome, but I need to just give her so much credit. The black lipstick is so difficult to put on, and it looked so good. Her makeup was impeccable. So
I could use some tips on that.
That looked phenomenal.
We will ask her. That's cool. That's a great detail that I didn't pick up on. That's why, you know, I'm glad we have a very mixed gendered hosts on this show.
I always wanted to try the black lipstick look, but I've always been too intimidated because, like, I have like dark red.
Let's all try it next week.
Also, she probably, because her whole face was painted white too. So, like,
that's what you got to do. That's how you pull it off. All right, wait. So, I have a question, though.
Annual night out.
So, nobody picked up on her entryway into
Lego Batman?
No, Lego Batman. That was awesome. I was like, I love it. And this is how I feel about all these cinematic universes. There's no wrong way to stumble upon them and find them and fall in love with them. So I just thought it was so charming that that's like how she first discovered it. And then once you have take that first step, you know, you just start exploring the different comic books, the shows. And I think she is spot on. Like DC gets a lot of crap for their pretty crappy movies, but the animated ones that you can find are really great. And I feel like they're just so unsung. Like they just don't get enough attention. Yeah.
And Assault on Arkham is a really good one to recommend to people. I would recommend it. Although I will say this, mature audiences only.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only caveat I'm throwing out there.
Makes sense for a Batman movie.
It's a Suicide Squad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Batman's right, in share. It, but it's more Suicide Squad.
For a Gotham movie, then.
There we go. I'll give you that one.
Well, I'm going to share just the last one, then we'll move on from our news segment, which is taking up a lot of time. But I'll tell you, this event, Gem State Comic Con, was so much fun because it's like in the middle of Idaho, you know, outside of it's not even downtown Boise. It's like 20 minutes outside of it and at the convention center there. And I'll say that, like, it was just fans. Besides having Samwise Gamgee there, like, it was, you know, mostly just people cosplaying, local artists, mostly local, you know, comic books sellers, dealers, artisans. It was just like, to me, it was back to basics of what is so great. When I was a kid, when I used to go to Comic Cons before they blew up, like that's what I used to love about them. So there's something very charming, and it keeps growing every year. And part of me is like, love it, embracing the growth. But part of me is also like, oh no, is it going to just start getting like sponsorship, and then celebrities are showing up, and then you're like, oh god, like I kind of miss the intimate charm of the original. All right, anyway, the last one, and then we'll move on.
I'd say, from the most part, it'll be Marvel, DC a little bit. Definitely no Lord of the Rings. A little bit on Star Wars. And then Dungeons & Dragons, of course.
All right, so we're going to talk about Lord of the Rings then real quick, because we have Samwise Gamgee here. Did you go and talk to him?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen him yet.
What would you say to him if you saw him? Because I was trying to think about what I'd even interview him about. I'd
probably ask him on gardening tips. Because we're having problems with the garden every year, and Sam always had it down.
So you're a Marvel fan, MCU?
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't seen all the Loki and all that. I've heard great, crazy things, but all the movies I enjoy, all the lore I enjoy.
What is your go-to movie if you just had to pop on a Marvel movie on a weekend?
Just to pop on one on the weekend, I Endgame is... You got to watch it.
What do you think about the current state of the MCU?
Current state of the MCU, I like everything that they're coming out with. I've heard only good things about the Loki series and how it ties it all together. And I'm really excited to see what they come out with next.
What would you like to see more of?
Oh, man. The Hulk. I want a Hulk movie. I want Planet Hulk. I need that. Yeah, absolutely. On my Hulu, I'm Hulk. It's the whole nine.
Dungeons and Dragons, your go-to race and class.
Oh, Dwarf Sorcerer. That's been like my first one. Does it go together? No. Is it weird? Yes. And that's why I like it. You don't need to play the meta. You don't need to min-max. You need to have fun and play your character well.
You're a dungeon master, obviously. What would your advice be to a new dungeon master starting out?
New dungeon masters always write out the entire story, and it's so complex, and they really want their group to get from A to B, right? Don't focus too much on writing the full complex story. Have your bullet points, know where you kind of want your party to go, and then let them write the story for you. Dungeon masters try to write the story. In reality, the characters write the story. We just guide them.
Okay, that was a lot to take in. First off, I want to say...
Okay, No. Sure. We're just gonna, right off the bat. Where and who told this man that the Loki series was good and tied everything all together.
It had to be Emilia because it wasn't me.
No, it's funny because I actually didn't like the end of it at all, but I liked everything vibe-wise up until that.
We're all caught in this bubble on this spaceship. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people out there who freaking love it. And I'm not kidding. Like, I talked to a lot of people at this convention. I almost did it just to do like a fan reel to enrage Norm. It was all the people who over and over again were saying, like, I asked them about what's the state of the MCU, and they'd be like, I don't know, I really like Loki though. And I was like, so they would they would diss on everything Marvel's putting out, but just love Loki. So anyway, our universe is very isolated at times, I feel like, because there's a lot of love for it.
Or we're just right.
Bridget,
no cap.
Can I just say, like, also, when we were watching that together and we're all on the side and Bridget was in her witness protection shadow, I was like, this is, and there was like some comments from the peanut gallery. I was like, it's giving Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Why not? But I do think this was Colton Kelly, by the way. So I was supposed to do a one shot with him as the dungeon master. I was very excited because I wanted to kind of pick up his style for our games. But I thought he had some great advice for anybody who's looking to become a dungeon master, which is like jump in and don't overplan it. I loved his thing on the Hulk. Like, I do think one of the things we're really, if they want to resurrect the MCU, they just do a Hulk storyline. Just
they
like
do.
Make him the focus.
I 100% agree.
Right? Haven't they been teasing it up like a little bit from the She-Hulk show? Like,
well,
I do
yeah,
think that's in the way.
And the She-Hulk.
Yeah. So I'm really hoping and expecting they learn from that, and that's what we see soon.
It's pointing towards Planet Hulk. I mean, you have Scar. We already did a little bit of World War Hulk with Ragnarok. I mean, we had that little tease there, but I mean,
the best parts of Ragnarok, yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're gonna do it. I'm hopeful. Mm-hmm. And it should land. But Colton, you're wrong. I don't want to disappoint you, but no, Loki was. I would not put it up there.
Nope. I'm gonna have him watch it, and then I'll get his impressions without listening to the podcast. Then he can listen to us tear it apart. But another thing,
I just
want to
know what he thinks of season one. Season one is excellent.
One and two, I'm gonna make him watch both back to back. No, but the I'll say the one thing that I really like that he said about going to talk to Samwise Gamgee. I almost did it, but the line was too long, and I didn't want to deal with it. But it was the gardening tips. I was like, what do I ask him about, like in character, like say, what's his name in real life? Sean Astin. I was going to ask Sean Astin anything. I'd be like, since you played one of the most iconic characters in like fantasy history, what are your gardening tips? Is definitely how I'd approach that.
I wonder if Sean Astin actually gardens at all.
I don't care. He better have a good answer.
This anyway, makes something up.
But that was my coverage of Gem State Comic Con. I have plenty more interviews. We'll post them all on our Instagram and YouTube accounts, which I just started up. So yeah, check them out. See what everybody else in the community and these fandoms are saying about DCU, MCU, Star Trek, Star Wars.
Nice. All right. Well, I guess that was the Verse News Extended Edition, make up for lost time. So why don't we get back to Middle Earth and close out BB's blind spot.
I think you mean the Verse Squad blind spot. Hey-o.
Okay, Dr. Rogan, let's remind everyone why you never watched this beloved franchise before.
Let me think back. What is the answer I've been using for the past two times we've done this?
I was here to say it for you.
What was the excuse? I gotta think of it. Was it I was doctor's note? No. Sick of this bullshit. Nope, I'm just kidding. No, I just never got into it. It was never a franchise that my dad watched or my older sister watched. You know, it was all Harry Potter, Star Wars, Twilight, you know. But never Lord of the Rings, and same with like Star Trek, like growing up, never. They both fell in that same category. Just two franchises that was not in the Brogan household growing up.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's totally fair. So I just have to ask, though, did you watch the extended version of this one?
Did you watch all 4 hours?
Yeah, was it four hours long or three?
Four,
hours
I would
long?
Say four and a half, right?
Yes. So the first time, yes. Because when I watched it originally, you guys told me to watch. No. I take that back. I have not seen the full extended version. I've only seen the theatrical version twice. So when we first started the blind spot, I watched the first three like back to back to back. Okay. And then, you know, we procrastinated a little too much. So then I'm like, I have to rewatch this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, then I was like, which was still 3.5 hours long. It's like
I was worried about it because I put on the extended version because now that's all I'll watch. And I have to admit, this one is the hardest one. It's the hardest. It's 4 hours long. And there's a lot of the extra little fun scenes in there that all the other ones have that are a little bit grating. Like, they're not the best scenes. They maybe should have been left on the cutting room floor. So
I
was
see Emily is like, yes. Hard disagree. I am trying to rein in the rage here.
Can I point out one scene before we get started? The drinking contest between Legolas and Gimli is so stupid.
Absolutely
it's so
necessary.
Silly.
For character development.
First off, Legolas wins, which annoys me. It just they make him just such a buffoon in that one. Anyway, my fingers are tingly, and he's like,
he's an elf. It's his. Okay.
It's a dwarf. No. That's all dwarves do.
Yeah, but they're so short. Like.
You're so short. What is the comeback supposed to be? That's not an argument.
No, because dwarves are shorter, so they metabolically like.
Listen, as a 5'7" man, I'd like to dispute that size really affects your.
No, that's fair. Actually, I can actually drink more than my friend who's bigger than me, famously. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and all it takes is a lot of practice. So, cheers to that.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry. Let's start over.
Let's talk about maybe one of your favorite scenes.
The end credits.
Oh wait, actually, can you give us a recap? Can you tell us everything that happened in this movie?
No, let's not do that, please.
But I like when Bridget tries to tell us. Make it quick. Do like two sentences.
Do a sum up.
What happened in this movie?
I actually feel like it can be summed up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I can sum it up real quickly.
Bad guy comes, battle happens, ring, escapade continues until the ring is, what's the word I'm looking for? I had a better vocab word. And then everyone returns home and there's fireworks and it's great.
I was just going to go with the King Returned.
The King Returned.
I was just
going to
say
the ring,
battle.
The ring is melted.
Battle. Yeah. I was going to say mostly battle. Battle. Circle. Ring. Things happened. Yep.
And
I will say.
Kick some ass in this
the
one.
The hobbits be hobbiting. They definitely were by the end of this movie. I gotta tell y'all, like, this movie was just, like, way too freaking long. Like, it's just so unnecessarily long. And I said this about the last, what's the second one?
Two Towers.
The Two Towers.
The Two Towers. Same thing. I literally was like, what is these cutaway shots sometimes? Because I'm like, you're adding, like, an extra 15, 20 seconds to the film of nothing happening. And then I, like, sit there and I'm like, did I miss something? It's like, oh no, we're just going to watch this scene setter for 30 seconds in silence. Yeah, and I just, like, I don't like that. I felt that I almost feel like the stakes were not that high in this film. Maybe because, like, I watched them separately, and the first time I watched them, they were just so long. Like, I just was like, I want this movie to be over. Like, I cannot express that enough. And maybe that's tainting my viewing experience, but I just felt like while watching it, I was like, I don't think enough people died. I don't think enough main characters.
Executioner Bridget, I forgot. You're like,
no, but like, we talked about drama. This in the last movie. Like, I just was like, yeah, the drama, the angst. Like, it just wasn't doing it for me. And I almost was like, you know what? Like, I just want to make sure I get the character's name. Frodo. Like, I almost felt that, like, I wanted, like, Frodo to, like, kill Samwise when they, like, were still fighting over the ring.
Okay. Can I don't want to interrupt.
I feel like our blind spot experiment has some real mixed results.
I agree with you on everything except for stakes and killing off Sam. You, Bridget, R.R. Brogan. Stop it.
Monster.
Do you know who also wanted to kill a hobbit on this franchise?
Oh, I'm guessing Peter Jackson?
No, definitely not him.
Oh.
Ian McKellen. No.
Gandalf wanted to murder one of the hobbits.
I'm forgetting his name, but he just got released from prison or whatever. Raping.
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein wanted to kill off a hobbit. And then Peter Jackson was like, humored him and just never did it. But, like, so I'm not saying you're Harvey Weinstein, but
you do agree with him.
This is
R.R. Martin here.
You definitely share a lot of the same
George R.R. Brogan.
He's also not out of prison. Like, that's.
I know. I'm just kidding about that. it's actually really. That's a total different podcast on law.
Okay.
We do,
no,
but
I just.
I am
felt...
angry about it, though. But yeah,
yes, I'm also
totally different.
I'm with Emily. Listen, I just felt that the stakes weren't high enough. Now, again, there's been many times in films where, like, people don't need to die for the stakes to be high, okay? But, like, there wasn't, like, dialogue and writing that was, like, angsty enough for it to get to that point on its own. And so I just felt that, like, the triumph, the victory in this film, like, just didn't do it for me. Like, I wasn't, like, I just... you know, was not like, oh, yay, let's defeat the king. Like, it just wasn't doing it for me. It just wasn't.
I don't know if this is the same. I don't agree that the stakes weren't high enough. I will say the, it wasn't as hopeless as Two Towers. Two Towers, when Gandalf and them come rushing in at the end, that had a different swell to it, where it was like, oh, the cavalry's here, whatnot. I did not get it in this one, but I still think the stakes were high. But I will agree.
I think,
that the doom wasn't high enough.
What I'll say is, I think what kept happening is you had so many endings where you'd be like, okay, then they defeat that, and then they're suddenly fighting another battle. You're like, wait, I thought they just defeated them, and then they're like, for Frodo, and I'm like, wait, but didn't you all just fight like 5 minutes ago when you won? Like, I just
because they had to distract
them. Didn't that happen
them.
In the Two Towers? Like, so... I just. Yeah,
you know,
you're right. When you read the book, it makes a lot more sense, right? Yeah. I just think
so
movie-wise, the pacing was really weird, and they kept having an ending after an ending. And
And then the prologue was just
too much. I think, like, I'm gonna use a compare and contrast here for a minute. So, like, other franchises. So typically, that like the second to last film of a franchise, like I'm gonna equate Harry Potter, I'm gonna use Twilight, I'm gonna use Marvel, let's do Avengers Endgame. Like the second to last of those films is always like, again, the hopelessness, the despair, like we're not gonna beat
Empire
the enemy,
Strikes Back.
Like yeah. We're done. Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars, same thing. Which I, you know, typically like the towers for Lord of the Rings, like I felt that and I liked that. Like you just, that had like more of a definitive ending. There you felt the stakes. That's where it gets set up. And then the last film of like these big franchises is always like heavy action. You're in battle and they always are finding like new ways to surprise you. And like, and that's where like, I think the character deaths come in because like someone dies that you weren't expecting to die. Like all sorts of different things. And I just like, again, I was not like connected in the same way, like for the last of this film versus the other ones. Like even Twilight, like the last of the Twilight like films, which I'm not a big Twilight fan, but I felt like the stakes, the doom, I like that. The doom was just doomier. But I also, not to crap on Lord of the Rings, but I just think that maybe I say that because I like never had a connection with this franchise to begin with. You know, like I was not like really looking forward, super excited to watch it. I was like, you know what? I haven't seen these. Let's do it. And maybe I'm just like too late in my life to enjoy them. Like I could have, if I saw them 15 years ago, you know, when I
Bridget,
was
I will
10,
say that
you know?
I saw this in the theater when it first came out. The first two, I was like head over heels with. This one, I was like, it's too long. Like I just felt like it was a lot to watch. And
again.
And the thing is, like I now though, as I get older, like I even like watching the extended version. And that's the thing. I don't know if it's an age thing. I've read the book so many times now. I've watched the movie so many times that it's like comfort food for me. I could just have it on and watch it. And I kind of don't mind all the extra weird scenes that, you know, have nothing to do with the plot that just like push the characters forward. But I remember watching it thinking like, this is going to be terrible for Bridget if she's watching the extended version, because I think you really have to be like Emilia. I'm sure you'll back me up on this. It kind of like you have to understand the lore and know the characters. And then all those things really have a lot more weight to them. But when you're just trying to follow a plot and figure out what's going on and like be emotionally invested in it, way harder. Anyway.
I guess I see it as it's like an epic saga. And I think that like, because the plot itself, like the overarching forces of good and evil, like it's pretty simple in a lot of ways. Like it's not like Star Wars where there's a lot of politics, there's factions and stuff. This is literally just like the most pure distillation of like a good versus evil battle, like classic high fantasy. That to me, I'm like, all the extra little details, I'm like, that's giving it color and character, that's distinguishing it from just being like a almost like a religious allegory. It's, and that to me is very important. But I don't think that like that's something that's for everyone, or something that like is always. I do think there's like a heavy amount of nostalgia in it for me too, because like that kind of good versus evil mindset is like, I think it's very appealing often to children, and it's like an easy way to understand the world at first. And
maybe that's why I love revisiting it now, and it just gets better and better now for me, because it's like you said, it's not about the plot, because you kind of know how it's all going to play out. It's just watching it, and the more you kind of get used to the rhythms of it, I don't know. I just think it now is eminently rewatchable, this whole trilogy. But all right,
so with what you guys are saying, that's why when we first started this, Emily was like, we should have her watch the extended editions. I'm like, no, let her watch the theatrical ones. Yeah. Let her see if she falls in love with it, because then you get to go back and enjoy the extended editions as like a treat to yourself. It's like, oh, there is more, and I get to go back into this world and see things that I didn't do before, and I can have a deeper appreciation for it. Because I do when I watch the extended editions.
I only want to watch those now, partly because of those little extras that are in there that you're like, oh, I love seeing that little scene with like Treebeard, you know?
I wonder if I should one of these days watch the theatrical releases.
Well, I want to bring up that they are coming back to theaters this summer.
They are, right, in June.
And they're even more extended editions, because they finished the other unfinished footage. Because they have the money, and they're going to make a ton of, I think they're actually going to make a good amount of money off of this re-release.
I will watch them. Well, can we focus on things you like, though, Bridget? There had to be some moments that, like, really you did enjoy. Crickets.
How did you feel about the Oliphants?
The Oliphants?
Did you like Legolas sliding down the trunks of Oliphants and shooting people and stuff? Was that fun?
Okay, I liked the action. I will say that I was actually pleasantly surprised by the action in this film. I liked the battle scenes. I was so happy to see the stupid orca, orcs, right? What are tree people called?
The Ents are the tree people, Ents. And the orcs are the orc. They're
I hate them so much. So I was glad to see a lot of them go down, personally. I really lost all sense with the Frodo storyline. Like I just got bored with them, still trucking it with the ring.
I can kind of understand that, yeah.
I got bored with that. I didn't enjoy that. I was like, dude, can you just let's just get rid of that. Like, can we just get there with the destination? It's taking 3
You really understand. They really make you understand just how far it is to get up this freaking mountain.
Like, holy God, I hated that so much.
Isn't Frodo such a wimp, too? He's just so frustrated. You're like, just nut up, dude, and climb up that hill. If it wasn't for Samwise.
It's the ring. It's a really, really heavy ring.
I know.
It's a burden for a reason.
It's like a Horcrux, you know?
It's a burden, and then Samwise is like, hey, I'll just take it and run with it. I'll just carry you on my back, Mr. Frodo. You're like, yes,
and look, Sam is by far the greatest MVP in the Lord of the Rings series.
That didn't inspire you when suddenly he's like fighting spiders and he's like, suddenly he has the ring and he's not even the hero. He's just like this goofy ass sidekick. And now he's like the hero. Like that for me is why I watched this one.
Sam the Brave.
Again, I did think Frodo was going to kill him there momentarily. Like I really did have that moment. Hope is a strong word. Would like to have seen.
No, I will die on this hill. Everyone else in Lord of the Rings could have died and I would have been okay with it, but not Sam.
Dude, when he literally carries Frodo on his back at the end and it's like a suicide mission, I tear up every time. That's why I watch this one is for the Sam storyline. The rest of it kind of goes on too long and blah, blah, blah.
It was it was a lot. It was a lot.
How about
I just called him Keith Urban. I just called him Keith Urban.
Carl Urban, by the way, I love his golden locks in this one.
We're not talking about country music here, Bridget.
I know.
This ain't America's Got Talent.
Yeah, no, Bridget, Rohirrim and Eowyn and the horses.
Yeah, it didn't inspire you that this woman comes up and just kills the leader king by shoving his sword down his throat?
I did like that. I think the elf thing still confuses me, that whole scenario. The elves, I'm still confused by the elves. And I don't, they're just they can never die, but they are dying. And do die.
They're leaving.
You can kill them. You can murder them.
Slay them.
Yeah. You...
They won't die of old age. They're they just don't really age. Or they age super slowly. And they're all leaving the land. They're all.
But Arwen would have died if she hadn't gone into the land of the undying because of the way that it is.
Reasons.
Because for reasons Tolkien will explain later.
Possibly.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Love.
That answers nothing.
Love will tear us apart. you're right to be confused. It's not like it makes a lot of sense. But,
I think there needed to be possibly, I know... I want to make sure. Arwen, they had their love story, which was good. I felt like I needed maybe a little bit more romance. Who's the blonde chick in the village that fell in love?
Eowyn.
This is where it gets different. Eowyn and Arwen.
So Eowyn had a lady boner for the king, but he didn't want to return Aragorn. He didn't want to return her, affection.
Yeah, I wasn't
because she was a bad cook.
Yeah, she's terrible at cooking. And also, she was just a little desperate. I totally understand where he's coming
from.
No,
it's because he's in love. He's,
he's in love with Arwen. I get it.
Yeah,
but
also,
yeah.
She comes
if she would have made
a
good
aggressive.
Stew, I'm sure she could have swayed him a little bit.
Well, can I tell you, but I also didn't like that they
take a cooking glass,
like, pin them up against each other. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's very different. Romance.
Well, they ultimately didn't, I feel like, because they didn't,
well,
she didn't have any like bad feelings.
I think
about
Aragorn,
it.
By the way, handled it like a total mensch. He was just such a good dude.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
how
but
do you
I
let
didn't
the,
like that
you...
it was even like an option. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't like that storyline.
Like, well, I do like that she ended up with the lesser of the Boromir's lesser brother.
Yes, the lesser one. So, anyways, that was okay.
Boromir, meet my other son. Faramir.
Yeah. Couldn't she have ended up with Keith Urban?
Yes. Keith Urban would be great. Yeetow. The other
did you love
is...
his golden locks, though, Carl Urban, and those awesome golden
no.
locks?
No.
It's perfection. It's perfection.
No, I'm sorry. Carl Urban with blonde hair, I do not like. He has luscious, amazing dark hair, and he should always be seen with that kind of hair. My personal opinion.
That is your hot take?
If that is considered a hot take nowadays, sure.
Right.
So no other favorite moments?
I was glad to not have Gollum on screen anymore.
So you're happy to see him dissolve in lava?
He finally kicked it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
but he kind of saved the day. I just want to point that out, that like, we, you know, Sam might have done a lot of lifting, but if it wasn't for Gollum's greediness and wanting the ring, you know, it wouldn't have happened. Frodo
That's
would have messed
true.
It all up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard. Now that I've seen it twice, I feel like it's hard to remember the things I liked about it, because I think I was way more critical the second watch through than the first watch through.
Fair enough.
I feel like I think I would have been a little more optimistic after the first watch through. But since I was like looking for stuff that I already disliked the second time, like, yeah, I really didn't like that. Yeah, I really didn't like that.
Wait, what about the what about the ghost army? That was always one of my favorite moments.
That's kind of cool.
That
Unexpected.
Was cool, but I would couple that though. Like, I think the action, anytime they were like in going to battle, doing like war stuff, I don't know. Like, that was the most exciting
war
part
stuff.
Of the film. War stuff. Yeah, like that's the easiest way to put it. War stuff. I did like that. And I mean, like, it was a very sweet ending. Like, you know, you're back in the Hobbit village and everyone's
so much
happy.
Hobbit love at the end. They're just hugging each other left and
so
right
much
in
Hobbit
slow motion
love.
For like an hour.
Yeah. And I'm just like, it was sweet.
Also bittersweet.
But I was like, thanks
Frodo
God, this
goes...
movie's over.
Yeah, Frodo goes to the Undying Lands with
because he can never
Bilbo.
Really go home again after everything he's been through.
Well,
all I can
he's
tell
not
you is
really him anymore. The ring has corrupted him so much.
And I'll say the book is like so much better at doing it. It was good. I think it worked really well in the movie, but the book, man, like, so the hobbits come back and they cut out this whole section of the book, which is the Raising the Shire, where it's like the war actually came to the Shire and they have to go back after winning the peace. Suddenly they have to fight it again in their hometown. And it's really like sad and crushing, but also awesome because you see them like, you know, after suffering through so much, like, are the ones that have to rise up and kick some butt again. And it's like this great chapter in the book. I get why they cut it. The movie's already way
too long.
But I do think it kind of misses some of the point of what was one of my favorite parts of the novel had to get cut. And I get it. You got to kill your darlings. But anyway, it is one of those things that makes me sad because it would have showed kind of how the Shire was touched from war. Like, everybody was. And come on, this came off of World War I and in the middle of World War II when he was writing these things, right? Like, you know. People
yeah,
understood the
sense.
Effects of war.
And by far, the theme that I loved was unlikely heroes in this one. Because at the beginning of this, nobody expected that the four biggest heroes would arise from the four smallest of the members of the Fellowship.
Especially Merry and Pippin, who seemed kind of like jokes in the first
two
movies.
Exactly, and they did so much. Sam did so much. Frodo honestly did, not to minimize it, but the least.
It's fine.
But he did, like, he was the central figure, so he suffered.
He bore the burden.
Main character. Yeah, he bore the burden, which is what he had to do. And the other three were just absolute all-stars. So I loved that theme. And I thought, when I was reading it for the first time, I was like, this is Yeah, this is great. And then seeing it on film, it brought me to tears. I won't lie.
Yeah, and the thing about Frodo, though, too, is the, like you were saying at the end, where, you know, all these, his trauma changed him forever, and he was never going to recover from it, right? Like, he bore that, but that was his burden. He might not have died, like you're saying, Bridget, like, yeah, people should die more. Like, just, so, and I get what you're saying, like, then you see the sacrifice, you can actually feel it. But the thing I do love about that storyline is, like, no, Frodo did sacrifice himself. Like, he never was going to come back. And, like I'm saying, this is a guy that fought in the trenches of World War I. He understood, you know, that some things you never recover from. And that's, I think, a message that is very important, especially when people talk about war and violence very flippantly, especially in this country these days. And it's like, no, there's a cost to be paid. And I do love that theme. And right, Emily, it's very bittersweet, that ending with him.
That was always Sam, so painful. Because, like, Sam, you know, I think Sam, like, gets away with, or not, like, I feel like he gets let off a little bit easier because he wasn't burying the ring the whole time. Like, that's the idea, right? Mm-hmm. So he is able to mostly pick up the pieces of his life. He is able to go home and start a family with the hobbitess that he had a crush on at the beginning, and that's Rosie. All very sweet. So it's like, it's nice that one of them got to go home. One of them made it.
And Merry and Pip become absolute legends as the tallest hobbits ever. So
they've been drinking water.
Everyone ends up better except for poor Frodo, who, because of his burden, lost so much. And yeah, mm-hmm. there's respect to be given there.
My heart.
Yeah, and it's like, I do like that storyline because it's not like that's why I liked Harry Potter, because at the end of the day, like, the end focus came back around to, like, friendship as a central theme. Like, doing everything, mm-hmm. like, for your friends, and, you know, like, the theme of love is, like, it's different. It's not, you know, does it have to be romance and stuff like that for it to still be powerful? So I did mm-hmm. really like that. I just think that, like, at the end of the day, maybe this franchise just isn't for me.
It might not be. I have a prediction, though. Okay. There's going to be one winter break where you're going to be, like, in the house cooking some food or just hanging out. It's going to come on the TV, or somebody's going to put it on, and you're going to fall in love with it again.
I do not see that in the cards.
We'll see.
But
we'll revisit in a few years, and you'll be like, God damn, I stumbled across it. I'm a fan again. Love them. Anyway, that's my prediction.
Maybe.
You never know.
So here's a good, I'd like that we put this in our script mm-hmm. here. Would you recommend it to friends? The whole trilogy, I guess, not just this one.
Honestly,
there are
specific friends.
Much better things to do with your time.
Whew. I can't really argue because there are a lot of better things you could be doing than sitting home watching.
I appreciate the candor.
If you're looking to waste candor. 12 hours,
wow.
then go for it. If you have just you want to go for it, otherwise, I would not be like, don't waste your time. Watch Twilight instead.
Go off.
Hot take.
Speaking of Twilight, have
you guys all seen Twilight? Because I think I might.
I haven't seen all of them. I only watched the first movie with my niece. No, we have another blind spot we got to finish called. No. We have to finish the Star Wars ones before we even consider another blind spot right now.
I think we could take a time out for Twilight.
I don't actually think we should do this, like, as much fun as it. Maybe if we did the verse after dark.
Oh, totally. If I can.
Yeah, the Twilight conversation, it would be not PG.
it would just get so weird.
We also have to watch the Alien franchise because y'all have never seen Alien 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. So we got to do at least the first two of those. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
6 is a lot. 6 is a lot.
I think I was throwing in some Aliens versus Predators there.
I think I've seen 5 of the 6.
Oh, there's more. No, there are, because there's Covenant. So I'm sorry. Yeah, no, there is, like, so many now. And that's not even including the Aliens versus Predator franchise. But all right, let's not focus on that next. What we need to focus on is the fact that Dorothy just gave us another. We have to. dot matrix printer noise.
Well, hopefully that's the script I prescribed myself.
Nope. It is part two of Dorothy's request for today. It says that we have to talk about our favorite fantasy series outside of Lord of the Rings. Could be TV, movies, whatever. We have to confess our favorite fantasy series that is not named Lord of the Rings. I have a feeling this will be easy for you, Bridget.
No? Okay, let's give Bridget a moment to ponder that one. Wait. Who wants to...
Wait, I'm confused. Is it like a... Like a franchise, or is it
any series? So series, I will start. TV. I will start, and you can kind of go from there. So one of my favorite fantasy series growing up was The Wheel of Time. Some of you might have watched the first couple seasons of the new show, which does not do it justice. Which I am not a fan of. I tried to like it. I tried, and it's just totally not the thing that I loved when I grew up. But the books are incredible. They kind of hit a rough patch. There's like 16 of them or whatever, 14 of them. But like, and they're thousands of pages long. It's a real commitment. But I'll tell you, like, and the author died, similar to George R.R. Martin. We talked about this on here. Like, the author died before he even finished it. And it started sucking after a while. It got really like boring and everything. And then this other author came on and finished it, who was like a fan of his, but also a really good author to begin with. And like stuck the landing. And it's one of the best, like, you know, endings that really ties up all the loose ends, keeps the themes, all the characters are treated properly with respect for the most part. And so The Wheel of Time, I highly recommend. Skip the show, but go get those novels. They're really great.
The show,
I read
okay.
them like five times growing up. I'm not a fan of the show. They just, I mean, sure, if you've never read the books, it might probably is better to not read the books. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, who's going to go next, Emilia?
Well, it's going to be A Song of Ice and Fire, which, you know, we're not surprised by. I would
Does it
have
bother
really...
you that it's not finished, the books?
I try not to think about that. I just try to think about it as like, you know, like we've gotten what we've gotten. Just try to be grateful for that. And yeah, but it's just like, you know, I read it at the right time of my life, and then the series was coming out, and it was such a good time for like 5 or 6 years. for more details, see our Got Beef episode. And the sad thing is, like, what I would have really loved for my favorite other, you know, fantasy series to have been would have been Harry Potter, but... unfortunately, yeah. My memories of that also had to die a tragic death. But
I was getting older. All your heroes would disappoint.
And when you learn more about certain people, anyways.
Yeah, and unfortunately,
just be quiet and fade into the sunset.
Thinking about that series, you know, now like looking back, rereading certain passages, remembering certain plot points, I'm just like, you know, it would have been like it would have aged just fine if we didn't know all this new information. But now that we do, things don't land the right way. They don't sit right. You know, it's like, can you ever listen to R. Kelly the same way again? It's and it's sad. So it's A Song of Ice and Fire, George R. R. Martin. Like, if you're not going to finish the books, at least please do as the courtesy of dying before becoming a terrible person.
Or like, and have somebody else finish the books like they did in Wheel of Time. I mean, just Robert Jordan, you know, sadly, tragically died before he finished it. Yet he like gave his notes over, gave his blessing, and it was a great wrap up to the series. So I wish the same. And I'll tell you, Emilia, when Song of Ice and Fire and the Game of Thrones show, when it hits, it is the best thing out there. Like, the only reason I don't give it that mantle is because he never finished the books. And you're kind of right. I should be grateful for what I got. But, you know, it is when it's good, it's like the best there is.
Just try to relive those highs.
Yeah, exactly. Norm?
Bridget, you still working on that or you want me to go?
No, Norm.
You know, I would, since I'm old, I would love to say that like it was like The Neverending Story or The Dark Crystal or something like that. But those were movies that I liked growing up, but not like anything I like was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. The one that changed my mind was a made for TV miniseries called Merlin, starring Sam Neill.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second.
Wow, that's an oldie. Yeah.
It's old. It's fantasy. And it's an amazing story about King Arthur. And I thought, you know, growing up watching Sword in the Stone, I was kind of familiar with it. But this felt different. And the way it was shot and focusing not so much on fighting and whatnot, but more diplomatic and how to inspire people as a leader. I loved that. And then of course the whole, you know, love triangle that happens and short-sightedness and how love still prevails. It got me. That's what got me into fantasy. That's where cool. I staked my flag and said, you know what? I'm going to go down this route. And that's after that is when I started reading Lord of the Rings. So
I'd be really into watching that show again. Like I remember seeing it. Like I remember watching some of the episodes. Yeah. Just images of it. So yeah, I'd be curious to revisit it.
I think it was kind of like when It came out on television. Like it was a two-night thing, like two Sundays.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, never mind. I was thinking of the BBC Merlin series.
Not bad.
The recent one, which is pretty good.
Completely
like
a departure
one.
From... It's the CW version of King Arthur.
It was fun. I liked it. All right, Bridget. Anything come to mind? Something you... And it can be Twilight. We'll let you have some vampire fantasy.
It's not my favorite fantasy. Although... That is the only series that I have read all the books for.
Well, it could be TV, it could be movies.
Rare feet. That's a rare
I went with TV.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, like, what's exactly defined as fantasy?
It's a pretty broad genre. Usually, it doesn't necessarily have to have wizards and warlocks and stuff, but, you know, and witches. But, I don't know.
Honestly.
Magical, something with magicalness in it.
Yeah.
The Wizards of Waverly Place, am I right?
There you go. Yeah, sure.
Hey, it was a decent show.
Wait, what was the recent one that came out on Netflix, that show with the witches? What's her face? The Teen Witch one?
Anyway.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Hey,
that was pretty good. I like that one.
Great comic book, by the way. Absolutely amazing comic books. You would not believe it.
Amazing. Wait, can I tell you though? But this is gonna be really corny because I did as soon as I heard the word fantasy, because this has been asked to me before. Oh, this is gonna be so corny. I can't believe I'm gonna say this. I love I Dream of Jeannie.
Hey, don't knock
that.
Barbara
it's
Eden.
Awesome. Dude, that show is
thou
so
shalt
charming.
Not knock Barbara Eden.
You can so, if that came on right now on Nick at Night or whatever, I would just like well, I'd binge it. I would just have it
sit
on
and watch it. You have to.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say because I'm when I hear fantasy, I always go to magic. And when I think of magic, like prior to Harry,
I think
Harry
that
Potter
I think
was
that
not
works.
My movies, right? But I love it because it works still to this day. When we're live on air in the morning, we have like dozens of monitors in front of us, and there's this channel that is up on one of the monitors, and every time we're on in the morning, I Dream of Jeannie comes on. So for at least an hour while the news is happening, I'm simultaneously kind of watching I Dream of Jeannie.
So this is how you can get through life. I totally understand because news is
this
so
is
depressing.
How I get through life.
A little bit of magic.
It is so depressing, and sometimes I'm just like, and the joke is, oh look, Jeannie's getting married again.
Oh yeah.
It's like the same episode.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I like that. That's a really good choice.
Yeah. Or Bewitched. Bewitched is up there in the same category.
They're very similar. Very similar genres.
I Dream of Jeannie is my favorite.
I'm with you. I Dream of Jeannie is superior to Bewitched.
Yeah. 100%.
The one I liked as a kid, personally. Yeah. But Bewitched was cool. I'm not going to diss that one. You know, the one that actually I would have said, except it's not a consistent series, is Conan the Barbarian. Like, growing up, I read those books. They're so weird. And that
Did
movie
like,
transformed
movie?
My life. The Schwarzenegger, the first one's awesome. The second one's entertaining. But that's it. It's like it's not consistent enough for me to say it's my favorite. But it truly is kind of what got me into
fantasy. My mom loved Conan the Barbarian. Yeah. And it's the first time I learned the definition of what a hunk was. Because my mom
Well, I'll say, your mom and I would probably get along.
The hunk.
Fabulously.
I was like, what is a hunk?
Real quickly, if you haven't seen it, Emilia, I don't know if you've seen Uncle Iroh is in the Conan the Barbarian movies.
Yeah. It was a time of high adventure. Yeah.
Mako is in the yeah.
Cool. Man, maybe that's a blind spot we should do. All right. Anyway. Alarm sound. Beow, 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 beow.
Wait, this can't be right. I didn't schedule another jump. Did any of you?
Nope.
Negative.
Of course not.
Okay, well, we better sign off and go figure out what's going on here. So stay tuned for more great discussions and interviews by catching us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Spotify, Google, Apple, Stitcher, we're literally on all of them. So you can also keep up to date on Cinematic Universe news and other important info by following us on Instagram and on Twitter at TheVerseCast. And if you want to follow me specifically, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Emilia U. Well, on Twitter on at Emilia U and on Instagram at Emilia F U.
I'm still only on Twitter. And yes, still calling it Twitter. And you can find me at random_white guy.
You can find me exclusively on the gram at BridgetBrogan16.
You can follow me, Lucas Longacre, on Instagram, Threads, Twitter, Twitch. Actually, on Twitch, we're going to have the Versecast. So at Luconian Logic across all socials. And finally, there is our producer, Stephen Pruzikowski, who last I checked was stuck under a washing machine trying to fix it. I sure hope his skills that he can use for the spaceship transfers into home appliances. He can be found on Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd as at FilmSnork. Also, check out his other podcast, TV Topics, wherever you listen to yours or ours. Either one. TV Topics is awesome. He gets some really phenomenal guests, and I know he just got some of the cast from Shogun, which everyone must watch. Everyone must watch.
Oh, and there's our music. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time in The Verse.
The Verse is produced by Stephen Pruzikowski.
Ha ha ha, the fools. I have lured them in, and now the real fun begins. Ha, ha, ha.